Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, we take a week off, and wow, it feels like it's been more than a week.
I know. Did you go away for the, what was it, Memorial Day?
Did a little kayaking, went out on the river, watched some of the Braves, watched the Dream Team. Did you watch the WNBA at all?
No. Did you go?
Yeah, very impressive. Surprise. Very fast-paced basketball game. I hope they do well. A lot of people there.
Right. They said the first game, big support.
Sold out. Yeah, sold out. It was great. I hope a lot of people go out to support the WNBA. We have three great guests this morning, Lee, and diverse they are. First up, we have Tunstall Rushton of Benevolink. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Tunstall.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me, Lee.
Tell us a little bit about Benevolink.
All right. Benevolink is consumer-directed corporate giving. It's a service we provide to businesses to drive loyalty and allow them to localize their support of the communities they serve. Ultimately, we serve three different constituents: consumers, nonprofits, and businesses. And it's free and easy for everyone. Consumers simply come to benevolink.com and register, and it's free, and they can shop online at any of about 400 different blue chip retailers, including Target and REI and Petco, and earn on average of about 7% for their favorite charity. Again,
wow.
It's free for consumers, and they pay the same price anyone else pays.
So you go to your website, I sign in, and then I go from there to Target?
That's correct.
And then at Target, I spend $100, so seven of those $100 gets kicked back to my charity?
On average, Target's percentage ranges.
Every I guess, retailer has a different percentage.
That's correct. That's right. It ranges from some high-ticket items as low as 2% to as high as 25 or 30% for some other items.
And how do you select the nonprofits? Does a menu pop up?
Well, the consumer makes the choice, and any legitimate charity can be chosen. We have over 1 million charities in our database today, so in all likelihood, you'll find yours quick and easy. But to the extent you don't see it, there's a quick and easy nomination process, and we can go verify the charity and get them on our list.
So give us some examples in the Atlanta area.
Well, from a nonprofit perspective, entities that are involved include Children's Healthcare. There are about 500 nonprofits that have been actively involved with Benevolink, but again, any nonprofit can receive funding.
So schools, churches?
Any school, any church.
Wow. So if I want to nominate my non-for-profit, how do I go about that?
It's a very easy form to fill out online. You could also email us, but within a couple of weeks, you will see that they are on our list, and you'll get a communication back confirming.
And how does the, say the school, how do they get paid? Is it monthly, quarterly?
It's quarterly. And in fact, our model is unique in that the way our model works is on a quarterly basis, consumers go out there and shop and earn money for the community in general. And then four times a year, as that money has built up in Atlanta, for example, then the consumers come and choose where to give it. And it's done as one whole pot. So to the extent some consumers don't come to make their choice of charity, it still goes to charity in their community, but the community at large chooses.
Mm-hmm.
So you are guaranteed to give everything you've earned to your favorite charity, but in all likelihood, you're going to get more than that because you're going to be directing part of a whole pie.
Right.
So what drove you to come up with this concept?
It's a good question. Actually, I was in the energy industry out there buying power plants around the world for a local Southern company. And that really is the beginning of how I started thinking about this. In our business, where these are very large transactions, we're out there bidding on billion-dollar power plants and such. And in every deal I worked on, we won every transaction. But it always came down from about 50 businesses bidding on these items boiling down to about three on a short list, and it was always the same players. Enron was always in there. But the way we won our transactions was we took the decision makers who we knew at that point weren't talking about money. Everybody's within 1%. Now it's about who they want to do business with.
Right.
So we brought those decision makers to Georgia, showed them the kinds of corporate citizens we are, the mm-hmm. kind of people that they do want to do business with. We brought the Prime Minister of Trinidad to Atlanta and showed them the businesses that we brought to Georgia by giving deals and working for the economy. Those kinds of things are what made us win business. So I spent a lot of time thinking about how can I create a model in a smaller form and sort of bottle that thing, because that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wins. The community wins, the consumer wins, and the business wins, and everybody is together doing something very good. So that really was the impetus behind it. We went out and did some consumer research, and we knew we had something good.
How long ago was that?
We've been operational for about 5 years now.
Wow. What a wonderful win-win. I mean, where did you start? I look at your retailers, and they're all over the board. I mean, they're nationwide. They're worldwide retailers. Where did you start? Did you start locally?
We did not. We started from an online perspective, and really, initially, that was just to test the model, make sure it all worked, get a little bit of activity out there and show how the marketing piece of it could work. But our goal was to be in everyday spending, in your grocery store, in your bank, in every place you go and do business. And so we embarked upon a pilot a couple of years ago, wherein we brought in a grocery store who was given, on average, about 1% of everything in their store. Producers joined, so products on their shelves joined. Coca-Cola was given 3-6% of their mm-hmm. products. P&G, SC Johnson all joined. Through that model, within 5 months, we had 80% of the nonprofits in that community had enrolled and were marketing the program.
Mm-hmm.
10% of the consumer households in Richmond had registered to join the program and were shopping for the benefit of their community, and we were at about 20% now.
Wow.
How does it work like in a grocery store? Like if I'm going to Whole Foods or mm-hmm. somewhere, how do they know that I'm with you and so they should be kicking you guys back?
Right. Well, we offer varying different plans for it to work. In that particular grocery store, they piggybacked off their existing loyalty card. So I don't know if you're familiar, like at Kroger, they have the,
right.
the Kroger Plus
right.
card.
Sure.
So they simply said, if you register that card at Benevolink, then whenever you use it, it will happen automatically.
Okay, perfect.
And so daily we had.
Is that how it is with most loyalty cards? Is that what you try to make happen?
It is, to the extent that retailer wants to promote a loyalty card. A lot of retailers do not want to do that and don't. We have varying other models, from using an existing credit card in the wallet
mm-hmm.
To direct reporting.
Oh, so you can actually tap into, like, my credit card, the one that I primarily use, and then a portion of that on every charge will go, or every
Well, there are two different thoughts there. In one case, a retailer wants to simply be able to identify a customer as a Benevolink consumer so that they can give them this benefit.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, a customer can register with Benevolink any credit card, and that is the mechanism that identifies them as a Benevolink customer. Separately, we are developing a credit card that would be a Benevolink community card that everything you buy, no matter where you buy, generates a percentage for your charity as well.
Mm-hmm. So that wow. you're evolving to that?
We are.
So if you look at your website, it does sound like it's got several different angles. It's got the shop, the give, and the connect. Can you elaborate a little bit on the connect portion? Is that
sure.
new?
It is new, and connect is a forum for all three legs of the stool to communicate for the benefit of the community. Consumers can come and find more about nonprofits they've never heard of, find mm-hmm. about volunteer activities, find about pressing needs that are very near to their concerns or their geographic neighborhood. Nonprofits also can find new supporters, a new venue for getting their message out to people. Businesses can see what nonprofits are focusing on their market. And ultimately, this can drive deals where nonprofits can be banding together in a way where they can approach the local grocery store saying, hey, for the month of December, will you boost your giving for us if we do this kind of drive for you? So we're building an infrastructure for more of this behavior that will drive the benefit of the community in general.
So Benevolink, where does the name come from?
You know, finding a name, especially these days, is one of the hardest things ever. We spent our first couple of years with a name that I invented that I liked very much, but was owned by someone else, and I could not get it to shake loose. I held a competition in our company amongst all their friends and family, and our current CFO at the time, his wife, came up with this name. And as soon as she said it, we all just went, that's it. We knew it. And you know, we had gone from lists getting shorter down to shorter, and we just put it all aside because we knew that was the name.
Yeah, that's what happens once you get that good name.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. How can people reach you, and can you give us the website address?
Sure. For anyone interested, benevolink.com is the place to go. And consumers, again, it's free. Just come check us out. Nonprofits can enroll for free and get free agency quality marketing tools to spread the word to their supporters. They can come to benevolink.com too. And businesses interested in participating, please come join us. You can go there as well. You can also contact, for businesses, Joe Sombathy at joe@benevolink.com or nonprofits, Patience Allen Glick, and that would be patience@benevolink.com, BENEVOLINK. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us today. And what a wonderful company. What a great win-win for the community and for nonprofits and those of us that love to shop. What a great way to give back, right, Lee?
Every dollar counts.
That's right. Every dollar does count. Mm-hmm. And Teresa Barber knows that when she's holding people's hands talking about franchise owning. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Teresa Barber of Franchise Consultant.
Thank you very much, Amy.
So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in being a franchise consultant.
Well, I've been in franchising for about 14, 15 years in all different avenues. I started in franchise sales when I lived up in the Northeast. Moved down to Georgia in 1996, worked for another franchise company down here as a manager of business development. So I would go out and work with individual franchisees to see how they could perform better in their business, kind of overview their financials and their business model to see how they could perform better and make more money. And then I ended up working for a startup franchise company that was based in Miami. And that's how I was introduced to Franchoice. We actually utilize Franchoice as a source of leads. So when I went to one of the conferences that Franchoice had and I looked around and it just kind of clicked with me where I said, this is exactly what I want to do. I want to be able to work with individuals to help them find the right franchise business for them rather than working for a single franchise company to help them, you know, sometimes try and fit a square peg into a round hole.
Right, right.
I'd rather find the perfect match for the individual.
And so Franchoice is a franchise to help people buy franchises?
It is a little confusing, isn't it? Franchoice is actually not a franchise. It is an organization. It is one of the largest franchise consulting firms in the country. And everybody that is affiliated with Franchoice as an independent contractor like myself, we work through Franchoice. Franchoice pretty much works as the arm to do the marketing for us and to supply us with leads and to hook us up with the different franchise companies. And then as an individual, what I do is work with somebody that is interested in owning their own franchise business, but they're not sure what they want to do. They know they want to own their own business. They like the idea of a franchise because it gives them that system, but they really don't know which
what's
one.
What's the exact right franchise
right,
for them?
What's right for me and what's available out there and
so
where
you're
would
the
I fit?
Independent voice that's kind of giving them the pros and cons. So your client is the person who's purchasing?
That is purchasing the franchise.
Right.
So they come to me and basically what I'll do is interview them to find out what their skills are and what they're looking for in a business and then match them up with several different companies that fit what they're looking for.
because the entrepreneurial mind oftentimes is not all that logical. How do you walk them through the process? Is there a list of questions? Is it a matter of coaching them?
I actually spend a couple of hours with them, either on the phone or in person. And I will, what a lot of people don't realize when they're looking for their own business is most consumers look at what they like from a consumer standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, I like chicken wings, or I like shopping at this store, or I like this product, so I want to own that business.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, the way that they should really look at business ownership is, what am I going to be doing on a daily basis as a business owner?
Right.
And what are my skills? And what am I going to like? What do I dislike? Do I want to work on weekends? Do I want to work hiring 100 high school, you know, age kids? Or do I rather, would I rather work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, doing B2B sales? So what I do during my consultation with them is just ask them all those different types of questions. What are your goals? What do you see yourself achieving through this business? What is most important to you? Is the financial return more important, or is it the fact that now you can stay home and have dinner with your kids at 6 o'clock every night?
What's the biggest reason people opt for a franchise rather than just an idea on their own?
I think it's more of a security issue for them. I think, like you had mentioned, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, and true entrepreneurs will come up with their own ideas and their own business model and their own way of doing things. Then there are so many people out there that want to have their own business, but they don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
So franchising does give them that ability to have their own business, but they still have that structure. They still have that corporation behind them, giving them the blueprint as to what they need to do to be successful.
How much does your service cost?
It's free. It's absolutely free for the individual.
So when you're advocating for the client, how do you choose? Like, you know, there's unlimited franchises, how do you kind of narrow it down?
We work with about 100 different franchise companies, and what Franchoice does actually for me and what we do as a group is choose the best of the best in certain industries. So when I am working with an individual and I listen to their strengths and I see what they want to accomplish through business, I look at what their financial investment is, I can match them up with those companies that fit what they're looking for, and I know that Franchoice has gone through and evaluated those
companies.
Kind of
vetted already. They've done that.
Yeah, we know who the good companies out there are based on, you know, either the existing franchisees, their systems that they have in place, so I can feel confident that I'm referring these people over to good, strong companies.
Is there any tips you would have for somebody who's considering being a franchise owner that they should kind of watch out for? Like, sometimes they seem a little too good to be true.
Yes, and that's exactly it. Sometimes things are too good to be true, but I think the most important thing is to take your time evaluating the different companies. Go through and look at the organization, find out who is at the head of the organization, what their experience has been in franchising, not necessarily in business, but in franchising.
Right, because those are separate things.
Yeah.
People don't really understand that, I don't think.
Exactly. A franchise is a business in itself. You have to have the proper structure and the training and the operational
and the
systems
right.
in place. And somebody could start their own franchise business and they know nothing about the franchise system, but they know a lot about their business.
How to make a pizza.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But not how to scale, you know, 1,000 pizza shops.
Exactly. So you know, evaluating the individuals that are at the head of the company, then talking to the existing franchise owners. That's the best way, and that's something that is very specific to franchising. Mm-hmm. Because people can actually ask the other people within the franchise system, you know, how are you doing?
Right, and learn from them.
Exactly.
And that's one of the main differences with a franchise, right, where that's the law, right? You have access to every single franchise owner.
That's correct.
You can call them all up if you'd like.
You can talk to anybody within the system. And I usually recommend that they talk with people that are coming from either similar backgrounds or people that are within the same type of city or demographics that they're in. I work with people all over the country. So if somebody is looking at a business to start in Atlanta here or in Houston, they should talk with people in larger cities as well.
Wonderful. What's the best way for people to reach you if they're thinking about owning a franchise and want some consulting?
They should reach her because it's absolutely a free conversation,
it's
right?
A,
so there's
a free
nothing
service.
To lose to.
Exactly. Exactly. They can actually go to my website, which would be tbarber.franchoice.com. And if they just, if they don't remember that and they want to go directly to franchoice.com, which is FranchoiceE.com, they can go there and get some really valuable information about franchising in general. Just a lot of questions are answered. We've got a very full website. And then they can contact me directly by just going through the information there and keying in Teresa Barber.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
So we talk about the entrepreneurial mind, and I think we have one sitting right next to me here. You talk about somebody that's inventive and has a really cool concept. It's Bart Foster, the CEO and founder of Solo Health. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Bart.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Solo Health.
Solo Health is an early stage company. We're focused on self-service health screening. Our first product is called EyeSight, and EyeSight is a vision screening kiosk that's designed to educate people on the importance of eye health and drive them in to get an exam.
So where would we find one of these?
High traffic retail environments. We're starting to test. Atlanta is our first test market. We happen to be testing a mass merchandiser up and coming right now.
And how did you come up with the concept?
Actually, I was on an international assignment. I was working for CIBA Vision at the time and working with some large retailers over in England, and realized that there's millions of people that could benefit from vision correction, but they just don't realize. And it's because our eyes deteriorate so slowly. And I thought, what if we could come up with a way to let someone quickly assess if they could benefit from vision correction? It'd print out a report, and then it would direct them in to get an eye exam. So that's what we've done. I did quite a bit of research and found out that, you know, there's 30 million Americans every year that are at severe risk of vision loss that don't get a regular eye exam. And there's another 12 million Americans who could benefit from vision correction, but they just don't realize it.
Wow. So this is the first step in getting them corrected, right? This doesn't correct, it doesn't write a prescription for them.
This does not replace a regular eye exam. It's only an information tool that allows them to test both their near and distance visual acuity, and then it provides eye health information based on your age, demographics, and so forth.
And does it direct them like, hey, you need to go see somebody, or like a warning bell goes off or some sort of
like, not quite
hey.
A warning bell, but it does.
Like,
it
hey,
says
it's time to get this checked out.
Based on your age and your demographic profile and your visual acuity, it will print a report and give you a video analysis letting you know that, you know, there could be an issue and you may want to get a regular eye exam with an eye care professional nearby, and it'll give you a list of doctors who participate that you could then book an appointment with.
Is this, are you visualizing this to be like a free service like the blood pressure, or is this a fee to get this?
It's test? Free. It's free for the consumer. It's paid for by those who benefit most. So it's the people that get to see more patients, the eye doctors, and it's the manufacturers who sell more product. And it's true one-to-one marketing. So if you can imagine, you go through the experience, we know you're male or female. If you're over the age of 30, you might have seasonal allergies. We can then queue up an advertisement for instance, daily contact lenses.
Wow. So does it drive revenue towards the vision market and particular eye doctors?
This EyeSight is a product that will benefit the entire vision care industry, and it's a product that everyone wins. So the doctors get to see more patients, mm-hmm. the manufacturers sell more product, and the consumers are then more educated. So a rising tide will float all boats, and the vision care industry could use that. Unlike the dental industry, which has done a great job of convincing us, you know, to go back every 6 months to get our teeth cleaned, eye care is not like that. The average person goes back every 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the number one reason why people go back the second time to get after their first exam, it's because they lost or broke their glasses.
Yeah.
But how do you get the person who doesn't have glasses to go that first time?
Curiosity? I mean, what does it look like? If I'm walking through a shopping mall or a high-traffic area, I see this. How is it going to get my attention so I know what it is, so I know I need to sit down and check my eyesight?
You'll recognize it right away because there's a big e-chart on the side that everyone okay. recognizes. You walk up to the device, you sit down, you answer a series of questions, mm-hmm. And then it prints out that report.
How long does it take to do the exam?
The test itself takes a little over 3 minutes.
Oh, wow.
The entire experience is about 4.5 minutes. So it doesn't take long at all.
Very neat.
So and then are you giving that, do you have to give up any personal information? So are they capturing like my email address or phone number or anything?
Only if you want to book an appointment and you offer that up, but no.
Does it offer to drive you home if you really can't see? That's what I'm thinking. If
it's there's really no slot that says, put your keys here. Your eyes are so bad, you can't drive home.
If a picture of Mr. Magoo pops up.
Right.
Exactly. So recently, you've been in the news a lot, and you've won some great awards. Tell us about Las Vegas.
We went to Las Vegas for the self-service Kioscom digital signage show, which was the largest show in the industry for self-service applications. So you can think of photo kiosks, airline kiosks. Self-service is really on the rise. And we were a finalist for two awards, both Best Healthcare Application and Best New Innovation Overall. And not only did we win those two, but I'm happy to say we won Best in Show for the entire
Wow.
Which is a big deal. I think we've surprised a lot of people. We've really only been in business 7 months.
Wow.
Built this great device that it was just there was a lot of buzz at the show.
That's exciting. Where'd you go to school?
University of Florida.
Okay. And were you always inventive? I mean, were you always thinking about things?
Entrepreneurial, for sure. And, you know, I spent the past 7 years at CibaVision, and they allowed me to be a kind of an intrapreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this was incubated, kind of a lot of nights and weekends as a Skunk Works project. But as it evolved, it became apparent that this really is an industry play. It's something that's going to benefit the entire vision care industry, and that's when we spun this out of CibaVision.
Are CibaVision still involved?
They are. We have a sales and marketing relationship with CibaVision where they have some advertising rights for contact lenses and for lens care products, and they'll have a seat on our board.
What other kind of products are coming down the line for Solo Health? Anything you can share with us?
What I can share with you is we're focused on three things. It's education, awareness, and action. And there's going to be many, many self-service applications that evolve over time. There's a reason we named the company Solo Health. We're focused on three major growth trends that are going on in the industry right now. Consumer-driven healthcare is one. You see the retail clinics that are popping up all over.
Right.
The second is digital signage, which is growing 56% a year.
Explain that a little bit more.
Digital signage, unlike traditional media, that's growing 5 or 6% a year, digital signage is taking off because flat screen technology is coming down, and you see in malls and airports these digital signs. It's like a billboard. But because it's hooked up through the internet, you can remotely update content. The EyeSight device has a digital sign on top, and that's one of the other major growth trends. And the third is the retail kiosk. Consumer acceptance of touchscreen technology has really taken off. It's hard to check into an airline now without using a kiosk. That's only going to increase, and healthcare, it's at its infancy in that industry.
How are retail establishments open to, you know, giving up kind of selling space for this kind of a device?
The retailers that are most interested are those that have optical locations or optical is nearby. And we look at the two models as an open environment or a closed environment. And I'll give you a couple examples. But a drugstore would be very interested, similar to the blood pressure machine. This is a traffic draw for them. It's a way for them to differentiate themselves and offer a free vision test or assessment to their shoppers. And then we would then direct the patients to go to the local community to get their eyes examined.
How big of a footprint does it take up, the kiosk?
It's less than 6 square feet.
Oh, so and then compared that to the blood pressure, how big is that?
It's very similar.
Similar size?
Yep, very similar size. Yeah.
Lee, we're running out of time. If people want to learn more about EyeSight or Solo Healthcare, how can they reach you, Bart? You have a website?
Solo Health is at solo-health.com, or you can Google Solo Health, and you'll find us.
Excellent. I can't wait to see where you are in 5 years. What an exciting industry. Thank you so much for being with us today, Bart. And Lee, I hope you have a wonderful week.
Yes, you too.
The Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, and have a great day.
Thank you.